couldn't help noticing that despite what seemed like a tremendous amount of progress in neuroscience internationally, there was no sign yet of any great change in what was happening day to day in local NHS clinics and hospitals. I became restless about the prospect of making any difference to psychiatric practice simply by writing more papers about brain scans. I recognized that the most powerful lever of change in the history of medicine was always the advent of a new treatment. I found myself wanting to know more about how new drug treatments were being discovered for depression, psychosis, and other disorders. That's why, in 2005, I took an unusual chance to start working half-time for GlaxoSmithKline, also known as GSK, one of the UK's biggest pharmaceutical companies. Half the week I spent working in my university lab on the fascinating esoterica of network analysis, and the other half I spent working as the director of GSK's clinical research unit, conveniently located about 200 yards down the hall in Addenbrooke's hospital. In the GSK unit, we did a lot of studies to test the effects of new drugs that were in clinical development for psychiatry, neurology, and other areas of medicine. It felt exhilarating at times to be inching closer to the promise of new treatments. But then, in 2010, GSK abruptly closed down all its research and development programs in mental health. I realized I was a 50-year-old psychiatrist working for a company that didn't want to do psychiatry anymore. And if a company as big and strong as GSK didn't see an opportunity to make therapeutic progress in psychiatry, what did that mean for the prospects of those radical improvements in treatment that I had been confidently expecting to witness for the last 20 years? That is the moment I began to start thinking seriously about the ideas that this book is about. I became increasingly interested in the work of other scientists who had been pioneering a new field of research that linked the brain and the mind to the workings of the immune system. They called it immunopsychiatry or neuroimmunology. The first time I heard of it, to be honest, it sounded bonkers to me for all sorts of good reasons. But as I delved into it deeper, it seemed increasingly plausible that this might be a scientific strategy that was different enough to offer a fresh chance of making therapeutic progress in psychiatry. I talked to lots of people, and once again I was lucky. My GSK boss agreed it could be worth looking into, and from about 2013, we were supported by the Medical Research Council and the Wellcome Trust to set up research partnerships with other companies and academic experts to find out more about the links between inflammation and depression. Hopefully, that explains how I came to be involved in the immunopsychiatry research program that I am still working on scientifically. But it doesn't explain why I wrote a book about it. Scientists are highly incentivized to write papers for a technically specialized readership of their professional colleagues, rather than books that almost anyone might read. But as I have spent the last 5 years or so learning more about how the immune system and the nervous system interact, how inflammation of the body can cause mental symptoms like depression, it has increasingly seemed to me that these questions resonate widely. They touch on some very basic ideas about the relationship between the body and the mind, as well as the traditional difference between psychiatry and the rest of medicine. And they point towards not just a few new antidepressant drugs, but a radically reconfigured, dare I say, radically better way of dealing with mental and physical health disorders together, rather than apart, as we currently do. This book does contain some technical language, especially in relation to the immune system, because if I tried to tell the story without any technical details, I would not be telling it like it really is. And it is, I think, a really exciting story of how we could begin to see new science make a surprising difference to mental health. I hope you enjoy it. Ed Bulmore, Cambridge, UK, March 2018.
Chapter 1. Daring to Think Differently. We all know depression. It touches every family on the planet. Yet we understand surprisingly little about it. This dawned on me in an acutely embarrassing way one day in my first few years of training as a psychiatrist, when I was interviewing a man in the outpatient clinic at the Maudsley Hospital in London. In response to my textbook drilled questioning, he told me that his mood was low.